is not the night we fought!
Welcome back to A Stark Contrast, where we discuss the differences and similarities between Marvel Comics and their MCU counterparts. And we're your hosts, Jeffrey.
And I.
Hello, hello, and welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
Hello, Di.
Hi, Jeff.
I feel like we always come back from like big things, yeah. Big weekends at the yeah. same time.
Yeah, actually, that's pretty fair.
Like you just did a con.
I
had
Los
a
Angeles
wedding
con
weekend.
Con. Yeah,
and
mine are always conventions. Yours are always like either a wedding or a
work
like
travel,
a
work
festival.
Travel. Sure, sure. Yeah. Honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
This year for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. LA Comic Con was to be expected. They had some really big names show up, especially when it came to Marvel.
Don't remind me.
I know. I was like, Jeff, your wife, are you gonna do it? She's selling out.
I told Sam while we were at like during the weekend, I was like, the LA convention, LA Comic Con is happening, and Elizabeth Olsen, she was like, oh, your wife.
I love Sam.
Oh, I'm so sad.
Well, in my mind, the perfect scenario would have been to like witness you go meet her again, but your photo from New York
exactly
on your shirt and like Sam Jackson.
Yeah,
it,
Sam
man.
Was like, what do you like? You already have it. I was like, yeah, but it would have been cool if I had the picture that I took with her in New York. Then I bring it to Comic Con or LA Comic Con. It would have
so
been like
good.
This inception, and then now I just gotta keep. Seeing her,
and then she'd be like, "Oh my god, it's the photo guy."
And then she'll be like, "And then she'll say my, then she'll say
she'll
hello by
you.
Name."
Yep, she'll be like,
she'll be like,
"Hi,
oh my
Jeffrey.
God, Jeffrey, right?"
Yep.
And then, then I would kill myself.
You're like, I've picked,
and then I would go with her to the dark dimension and, never, and never,
you'd,
come
you'd
back.
You'd be satisfied.
Yeah,
you'd be,
I'd be fine.
Great, golden. Yeah. So yeah, Lizzie was there. Paul, Kristen Ritter, the Defenders, essentially.
Wow.
Iron Fist. I didn't stay for anything. I just kind of made my loop. I got a free pass.
Is it big? Is
industry.
LA Comic Con big?
I would say it's modest.
Like compared to New York, it is.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
not even close.
No. It's heard. Like a sixth of that.
Step it up, Los Angeles.
They're trying. Well, Los Angeles Comic Con used to be Comic-Kazi, which used to be Stan Lee's Comic-Kazi.
Oh.
So it's kind of gone through a few iterations, which doesn't necessarily help.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that you change the brand, it changes the entire thing. So it's still kind of where it started in eyes.
Yeah.
It's expanded in a few ways, especially with guests.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, it's still the same kind of...
Got it.
Funko Pops and La Boo Boos and
sure.
Anime Corner.
Sure.
It's fine. San Diego and New York are still top tier. I Got still want to get you to San Diego one day. Or 1 year, rather.
I wonder if I'm even friggin' ready for that.
I think you would genuinely like spend a day there and you'd be done. You'd
probably
be like, I'm good.
Probably.
I'm ready to go home. Because it's just
overwhelming.
It's overwhelming, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's so much to do there. But if you're not that kind of fan,
yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
into all, everything,
yeah.
Don't go. Like, just don't go.
Got it.
But LA Comic Con, yeah, again, for as little as I stayed, yeah, it was a fun time. Got a couple of comics. New Avengers number one type of deal. Marvel Rivals. It's Jeff number one.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Psylocke number, just a couple number ones, obviously. And then I bailed. And it was nice. I just, you know, came home and watched a little bit of something we're going to talk about in this episode, of course. But before we get to all of that, some Avengers Doomsday news. They have officially wrapped filming. We got a look at some of the new cast and crew gear. Still haven't seen the other side of that bag or whatever that was to see the other
characters.
But we did get a better look at the characters that were covered.
Yes.
So now we've seen Yelena and Magneto and I think Beast or something.
Yes.
And they all look like they last looked, with the exception of Cyclops, I think. Is the only Cyclops and Wolverine maybe are the only ones that got their
we haven't seen yet.
Their new X-Men 90 or X-Men animated series costumes.
Yeah.
Or comic book accurate, if you will. But yeah, nothing else aside that and the really cryptic, mysterious photo that the Russos dropped. Jeff and I were talking before the show.
Probably nothing.
And it's probably nothing.
It's like just hilarious.
It's just a cryptic black and white, beautifully shot photo of nothing. So not even going to look into it so hard. But apparently, as far as Disney Marvel's schedule goes, they have switched the Simpsons movie with a Marvel Studios slate. So now...
Oh, did they?
They did. And I think they just did that in the last day or so. So there was no longer an unnamed Marvel movie in this particular slate that takes place between Doomsday and Secret Wars. Mm. So now there is no Marvel movie in between those two films. Mm. So if they don't fill the gap, they're directly correlating. Which is going to be like, interesting. It's just going to T-bone it.
It's like, all right.
All right. Yeah.
Like he said, a soft reset.
Yeah. Which is going to be, it's coming.
Hey.
So that's interesting. Yeah, I'm curious. But it's almost go time. We're just over a year away.
Just over a year.
From Doomsday. So,
yeah.
Would you believe I still don't know what Tom Holland spoiled?
Oh,
for Spider-Man.
Oh, like he said they saw a Boylan, a violent villain?
Yeah.
I don't think so either.
I didn't see it.
I see it happen. Oh, my God. I see it just pass by and I'm like...
Is it a big deal to you?
I didn't even see it. I don't even know what it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I saw some vague, I saw some cryptic...
Description of it?
Descriptions of a villain. But even then I was like, oh, is that it?
Could be anything, man.
It could be anything. Yeah, I'm still not so I haven't been spoiled per se.
Yeah.
But if I haven't seen
Same. I'm not spoiled either. I just know he got a. Did you read? Oh, he got a concussion. Did you see that?
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah.
Which is really sad.
Because they said it's only a couple of days he's out, which is okay, thank God. Hopefully it's nothing serious.
Yeah. But Jesus, right?
He is committing. That is Spider-Man, if we ever seen it.
I know. I'm like, oh my gosh. And they said it was right after the first month, I guess, that he was filming.
Something like that.
He got it. And that's kind of why we haven't seen anything. I was like, oh, poor baby. But yeah, hopefully he's in good shape, tip top. He did some event with Zendaya there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, he's fine.
They seemed great. I know. I was like, how do we get into this? And I was like, wait, it's a rich people auction. Never mind. Anyway, so that's it as far as I think the MCU in progress news goes. Still waiting for some more Wonder Man stuff to drop.
Yeah,
we got another glimpse at Simon, but that's about it.
Yeah,
but nothing more. But there is a gigantic, gigantic piece of news that we finally got. From the Gamerverse, and Insomniac finally dropped their official Wolverine game trailer. Oh my gosh.
It looks so good, dude.
It looks incredible. And the fact that it came so far, I saw somebody post the screenshot of the leak that occurred.
Yes.
And then the final game trailer. And it is obviously, and as expected, so much crazier and so much more in-depth than we could have imagined.
Yeah.
The fact that there's a blood gauge or blood setting.
Okay.
So you can play it relatively clean, or you can play it where there's just...
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah.
It's Wolverine.
So, I mean...
It's a TVMA game. Hell yeah.
It's going to be great.
I'm excited.
Super excited. Fall 2026 release date. Fingers crossed that sticks, if not gets pushed up. Confirmed to take place in the Spider-Man gamer universe. And yes, again, Logan is voiced by Liam McIntyre. And then more information is dropping spring 2026. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Need that. My PS5 is looking dusty.
I always forget mine is back there sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't wait. Hopefully it's nice and it's the same game length as Spider-Man 1.
Yeah.
I'm kind of looking for that. Miles Morales was great, but it's a little short.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man 2, it's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Spider-Man 1, if they hit that same note, oof. And you can already kind of tell, even in the gameplay, as far as, some of the moves that Logan does, he does, the uppercut thing that Spider-Man does. and some of just the interactive, like, fighting style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very Insomniac. So I'm good. Like, all right, that's going to be good. Yeah. And then Mystique made a cameo in the trailer as well. Definitely calling dibs that she's probably the Black Cat of the series.
Mm, Sentinel was in there.
Sentinel, crazy. Like, that's huge.
Like, okay. What year is this also, you know?
Yeah, very curious. Well, they also mentioned that the territories known so far are Japan, New York, and Canada. I assume that Madripoor...
Japan, for sure.
Oh, yeah. So we're... What I hope that means is that we're going to see Logan from the olden times.
Have to.
Yeah. Oh, it'd have be great. To. They have an opportunity to really plug in a lot of incredibly well-conceptualized games that have come out in the last 10 years and fuse it into one really good game. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, do it. Do it.
Do it.
So hopefully it'll be great.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. Again, Liam McIntyre is great. Spartacus.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to his performance.
Die. Mm-hmm. I have one surprise for you.
Oh God!
I don't have anything physically.
Okay.
But I have watched it. Fan forced it.
Oh my God!
I watched it today.
What did you think?
Yeah, it's rough. It's a rough.
It's rough,
right? But then, to your point, what you said to wrap it as a Fantastic Four movie, it is really, really hard.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
Yeah, you forget that it's a Fantastic Four movie.
The difference is, might I say, very stark.
It's a stark contrast.
What a stark contrast.
Yeah, see? It is the epitome of our podcast.
I was very like,
yeah,
this is where they're going.
Well, and this is the interesting thing about that film, I feel, is that initially people were upset about the race swaps when that is probably the last.
That's not,
it's the least problematic thing about that problematic movie. It's not even probably. Yeah, it has, like, the race has nothing to. It's the fact that they tried to shove these elements into this film that.
Not right.
Yeah, so.
I witnessed the meme.
Yeah.
In 4K HD.
There it is.
And then it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Exactly. And then the fact that they had the audacity to be like, I have the perfect name for us. And then it just ends. You tried to Avengers Assemble us.
Yeah. Wow. There is not many movies where I'm like, I do give the benefit of the doubt. I think there's only two movies where I have not given the benefit of the doubt. Oh, I know. No. I gave Madam Web the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it's a Sony.
Yeah.
It's a Sony.
And that's like a different kind of bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's different.
It is.
But they're both like bad.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Very surreal level
but
of
I will
bad.
Give Madam Web more benefit of the doubt than this movie.
Woo, see?
100%.
That's
only
crazy,
because...
Right?
Sony sucks.
Yeah, I know. It's not exactly beyond their purview in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Without Marvel.
Sony could see the best script ever written.
Yeah.
And they'll still be like, you know what would make it better?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If we decided to... And it's like, okay, guys.
Yeah. Exactly.
But Fanforstic...
See? Fanforstic... It earned that 9%, buddy. It earned it. It really did.
And I gotta say, that 9% is generous.
Yeah, right?
Oof.
It's rough. It's really, really rough.
I'll give Madam Web double digits at least.
I'll give Morbius higher than that.
100%.
I still give Morbius higher.
I think Morbius deserves more than 50%.
I agree. 100%.
Easy.
I mean, you know, not 100%, but I agree as well. So if you enjoyed that rant, we do have Fantastic Four episodes floating in the ether right now. We've done three so far of the five that we're definitely going to do. And so backtrack a bit, listen to our Fantastic Four First Steps review, our Sue Storm episode, as well as our Johnny Storm episode. And yeah, I've been trying to get Jeff to watch this movie.
I know.
And I promised
I would before we're done wrapping up the characters.
Well, now you're going to have a lot to say when it comes to Ben and Reed. Oh, it's gonna be so great. I can't wait.
And after and now like after and then watching Fanforstic
yeah.
after having all the context of
mm-hmm.
you know, the Fox one and yeah. now the MCU one.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
They were like this is what the fan this is who the Fantastic Four are. Yeah, let's go the complete opposite of who they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, wow.
Yup.
It's 90 minutes I'm not gonna get back.
Never. No, never.
But if you want to have that feeling of like, you know what? I feel like watching a movie where I'm going to regret it. You should definitely watch Fanforstic.
So I guess it's time to jump into our actual episode topic for
yes.
this round. And so Marvel Zombies has officially hit Disney Plus, brand new animated series from the creative team that brought us What If... ...
Mm-hmm.
But this dawned on me really late, for the record. Initially, I was like, yeah, we're just going to do a review. It's going to be easy peasy. And then I was like, wait a minute. Guys, this was a comic book series before it became a show.
Yes.
So let's backtrack a bit about the origin of this series. And so I just wanted to cover some basics when it comes to the comic book version of the series, which debuted in 2005 from a team comprised of artist Sean Phillips, cover artist Arthur Sudium, colorist June Chung, and some writer by the name of Robert Kirkman.
Am I supposed to know this name?
You're supposed to know this name, Jeff. He created this tiny, tiny series. Once upon
Damn
a time,
it.
It was a comic book that
Damn
turned
it.
Into a TV show that
Hold
now
on.
Has, like, I think 3 spinoffs at least. It's called The Walking Dead.
I forgot that was a comic.
Yeah, it was a comic. And Walking Dead debuted in 2003. So immediately with the success of it, I thought it was a little slow to go, but it did catch on really quick.
Yeah.
Marvel did what Marvel does, and they're like, hey, you, Robert Kirkman.
Do something.
Would you like to write a comic with us? And thankfully, the dark humor of Robert Kirkman's writing and zombies and Marvel superheroes all came together.
Oh, wow, it makes so much sense.
It makes a ton of sense. And as somebody who read every compendium, which is essentially the entire run of The Walking Dead, Marvel Zombies is a lot better than most of it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a little rough. I think it was disjointed in a lot of the writing.
I went to a concert last night, one of my best friends, and we were talking about amongst a mixture of things, and he brought up Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And he was like, ah, I'm sad that Walking Dead became unwatchable after Glenn died.
Everybody says it. Everybody.
And so when you were saying mm-hmm. like Marvel Zombies, you think it's better. So I'm like, that reminded me of what he said last night.
That's funny.
And he was like, yeah, it just, I mean, like one, like sure, he was my favorite character.
Sure.
You know, he died. But just after that, it just.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Unpleasant.
So I don't know. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
So. But,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you have zero context.
I have zero context.
Oh, wow.
I know that scene of Glenn getting beat up.
Sure.
We love you, Steven Yeun. So.
Yeah.
But then people said like, oh yeah, the show was not the same after
absolutely that. Absolutely safe to say like 70% of people who are watching that show died off after that.
Mm.
Because it was just, he took it with them. He really did.
Mm.
And that same scenario happens in the comic, but it doesn't register as hard as Steven Yeun and his performance. So it's totally justified, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting. And so coming off of that high, at least rewinding a bit back to 2005, Marvel decided to release this short form series in 5 issues. And so currently a CGC 9.6 of number 1 of 5 goes for about $160. It's pretty affordable. Cover price was $2.99, and you can get the issue raw for $25. And there are variant editions and stuff, but what I love about the regular A covers of all these issues is that each cover is based off of an iconic cover. So for number 1, it's based off of Amazing Fantasy number 2.
Yeah, okay.
Spider-Man's first appearance. And so, but zombified. And so,
love that.
Yeah, it's a lot of this. And so The Marvel Zombies themselves. So they actually debuted before this series,
okay,
which is a very interesting aspect in that they debuted in the pages of Ultimate Fantastic Four, speaking of.
Mm.
And so specifically, they came in issues 21 to through 23, which was July through September 2005. And so the premise is that, so here's the issue cover, for instance, a younger Fantastic Four, speaking of younger, and it's an alternate universe. This is the 1610. This is the Miles Morales Fantastic Four. And so I believe Sue and Johnny's father was still alive. Their mother comes back into the picture. It's quite different. Again, they're younger. And so the premise is that Zombie Reed from the zombie universe.
Jeez.
Of course, we're dealing with the smartest man in perhaps the galaxy, if not just Earth. He lured his ultimate counterpart.
Into the zombie universe?
He was transmitting a projection of himself, looking like Reed Richards, like an older version of like our Reed Richards, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I go, this is my son Franklin. Yeah, if you build this machine, you can teleport here, we can teleport there, whatever. It ends up all being a ruse. Younger Reed creates the teleportation device, goes through looking for the Reed that summoned him.
Uh-huh.
And he's met with this crazy world where everybody's dead.
Yeah.
And he's greeted by his zombie counterparts.
Oh, that's scary.
Of the Fantastic Four. And so the entire reasoning for it is that this Reed, Zombie Reed, they're running out of food.
Mm.
So they wanted the teleportation device to come through and feast on 1610.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, so after the three-issue arc in Fantastic Four, Ultimate Fantastic Four, Magneto, of all people, comes to save the day. Then he stays behind to destroy the contraption because they're all stuck in the zombie world.
Oh, man.
And so the only way they get back, it's so nutty. The entire storyline is so crazy because it's quite literally, and it's unfortunate you don't know The Walking Dead because it is very Walking Dead-ish, very Last of
Us-esque. Yeah, yeah.
In that there are only a handful, literal handful of human beings, and the zombies gravitate towards superheroes, and there's a reason for that. So Ultimate Reed and regular Magneto and like four random people are stuck. They finally make their way back to the transportation machine. Reed and those people get out, and Magneto realizes in the moment, he's like, oh, I can't go back because somebody has to destroy this. So he destroys the mechanism and he's left as the only living human being in the zombieverse. He's heralded as this hero at the end of the three-issue arc, and it picks up with Marvel Zombies number one. And you're like, we're going to get to see Magneto fight these zombies. And so before we get to his fate, Robert Kirkman's writing really shines because in this universe, compared to the animated show, they retain their personalities and they retain their powers. They're just zombies.
Yes.
So Spider-Man, for instance, his leg is falling off. He's like, oh, geez, I broke my leg like in half. He goes through the entire issue like, guys, I can't walk.
Yeah, like on one leg. Yeah.
Oh, I ran out of web shooters. Like he does these things, but he's like, oh, brains at the same time. And then Captain America. Look what that punk did to me. If we catch him, when we catch him, I get double the rations. And so he got his head severed off by his own shield because of Magneto. And so they're all going after Magneto because they're like, we want his flesh. We want his flesh. Yeah. And so, unfortunate for him, he was doing what Magneto does. You'll never defeat me, blah, blah. Janet Van Dyne comes up from behind and noshes on him, and it's done. They literally rip him apart. And he's dead. And so, without getting into it too heavily overall, as far as the zombies came to be in the Marvel Zombies series, it's actually quite simple. On Earth 2149, Sentry crashes onto Earth from another dimension, and then he's already infected. The Avengers come in thinking, we'll stop him. He immediately bites one, bites the other. They all get infected. It just spreads like wildfire. And that's it. Within 24 hours, the entire Earth is devoured because they're all superpowered zombies.
Gosh.
Because the infection, the virus itself, is attracted to superpowered people. So yeah, they all all want to bite each other. And then by the time they're all done, humans are nothing. They just, you know, crack a neck and then it's done. And so they develop this hunger, capital H hunger, according to the comic book. And so they have this insatiable desire and a need for nothing but human flesh. So they can't eat each other, which they do try at one point.
Yeah, but it just
doesn't work. They're like, what is that?
Yeah, it doesn't satisfy them.
And they retain their powers and their personalities. So, for instance...
That's scary.
It's so dark, but it's so good, but it's also like, whoa. Because you have to understand, like, somebody like Hulk, for instance, he's present in this world. When he's hungry, he hulks out. And then when he's satiated, he comes back down
as Bruce Banner?
As a dead Bruce Banner.
Aww.
And at one point, they're starving. They're literally starving to death. And I think it's Hank Pym gives Bruce the idea to just, you just ate. Go back into your stomach, pull it back out, and then eat it again. And so he's regurgitating Magneto's like leg. It's so wicked. Then there's this part that Hank Pym has T'Challa, like a living human regular T'Challa tucked away in his little cupboard.
Oh my God.
And he's slowly eating him. He's severing his limbs so he can stay alive. It's so nuts.
Sounds gross.
It's really gross. And Wolverine says in the first issue, like, they're not even dying. They're just straight up dead.
Yeah.
They're all dead. And so one thing that I didn't note was that not only does the entire storyline take place within days, it's less than a week. It's only 4 to 5 days. Uh-huh. The entire Earth goes to shit. But the end of issue one, a silver surfing alien comes through. Oh, yeah. And they're like, who's that? They have no idea. As Silver Surfer does, I am the Herald of Galactus.
Ooh.
Your planet has been chosen.
Oh my God.
Galactus comes through. Mm-hmm. They figure out between Tony Stark, Reed Richards, Hank Pym.
No way.
They figure out how to take Galactus down and devour the Devourer.
And then does Galactus
become a zombie?
Turn a zombie?
I mean, I think so.
Because that's kind of like, that's the end all be all right there.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned, because they actually don't show it. They just mention how they can feast for years on him.
Oh, okay.
Because he's so big.
Yeah.
And so they never show it. They just fast forward to where the remaining acolytes, there's this whole thing with Magneto and his people.
Funny.
Yeah.
So basically they use Galactus to like satiate themselves as long as they can.
Yeah. But, here we go. Now I remember what happens, even though they don't show what happens to Galactus, what happened is they took down the Surfer too. So they absorbed his powers for a moment. So they're all zombies, but with Silver Surfer powers, which helped them with a machine made out of vibranium take down Galactus. So when they consumed Galactus, they absorbed part of the Devourer's powers.
Jesus.
And they all, at least the five of them, like Hulk, Hank Pym, Captain America, Wolverine, Spider-Man, maybe Iron Man, they become heralds and Galactuses of themselves. And so they start traveling the universe as these zombies looking for more food. It's so crazy. It kind of jumped the shark there. But up to that point where they took down Galactus, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
It's a little crazy. And so just to give you a little more context, here's Sentry in the Ultimate Fantastic Four issue when the infection begins.
Yeah.
So he crash landed. They're like, okay, we're going to take care of this. And he's already gone. And it's just over. He just takes them all out. And that's how it spread. They all got it. They just pages and pages of superheroes that are all zombified. Yeah, it's so crazy. So that's it for the comic book. Now for the show itself. So the show, directed by Brian Andrews, currently has a 7.5 out of 10 rating on IMDb. Currently number 2 on the popularity scale, up from number 8. 87% on Tomato Meter with 93% from the fans. 3.6 star rating on Letterboxd. And yeah, just 4 sweet little episodes that don't actually have titles. They just have synopsis.
Part 1, 2, whatever.
Yeah, it's just 1, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4. And of course, this takes place on Earth 89521, same as the episode of What If ... Zombies from What If Season 1, Episode 5. So yeah, short watch, but a good.
I thought it was good. I thought the intertwining stories,
loved it.
Was really fun. Did they ever say like what the cause of it was?
No, which I thought was interesting about this version of it. There's no origin point.
Like who was the first virus?
Yeah,
they had the flashback of when the infection first happened.
Yeah,
but never of like. Experiment gone wrong.
Oh yeah, because Pym. So there, something happened with the Pym particles, and there's corruption.
At the Pym lab.
Pym lab in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So something happened there.
Okay.
They don't say exactly what.
Yeah.
But it has to do.
I mean, it was pretty scary. I will say.
Yeah. And it has, and that I think is kind of like their homage to the comic book version because he played such a big part in it. So I think it was very clever how they infused like, oh yeah. Ant-Man, both versions, and Shang-Chi both take place in San Francisco. Why not use that as the vehicle to introduce Shang-Chi and Katie and bring them into the mix? But as far as the episodes go, so yeah, Lone Survivor's Face and Unforgiving World of Horrors in episode 1. Did you have a favorite episode, first off?
I'm actually, now that I think about it, I'm kind of torn.
Yeah,
because like
I just
the one where I texted you where my girl was totally was totally faking them out.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh my god, no, she's in human form.
Yeah,
and then I was like, something.
You mean Kara? Oh, you mean
the Thor episode?
Yeah.
The new Asgard episode.
Scarlet Witch. Yeah.
Yeah, Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, like that's but.
It was a good
one. Then the first episode of it's like, I was like, oh my god, it's Miss Marvel, Kate, and Ironheart, you know, and that's cool. And the second episode was the flashback, right?
Yeah.
With Shang-Chi.
On the open road, the hunger for flesh rules.
Oh, and it was the whole, it was like the, what's the movie? What's that movie called? With the dirt. With Charlize Theron.
Oh yeah. It was
Mad Max.
I was gonna say Fury Road. I'm like, wait.
No, it is Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
I was like, that's
fun.
They're
Mad Max in it. Yeah.
Actually, yeah, all good episodes.
They were all great. And then the rotting dead will taste the fear, and then a bloody end.
Honestly, the whole like zombies just having the Infinity Stone, like zombie Thanos. When they were like that, when they were explaining, they're like, oh yeah, he realized he had the Infinity Stones and he got smarter. And I was like, oh, they're screwed.
He adapted. Yeah, exactly. Which is insane to think about. But I remember like when you're like, oh, I'm about to dive in. I was like, mentally timing. I was like, oh, he's going to text me like
I texted like pretty much at the end of every episode.
Yeah. You're like, oh, my girl got killed 15 minutes in.
I was like they're killing Kate?
I was like, it's only going to get worse, Jeff.
I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, and so, yeah, I have a difficult time because obviously I'm biased for particular characters.
Sure.
But every single episode was on point. It felt like what season 1 of What If was really truly aspiring to be and what it kind of actually did succeed in because it was so anthology-based that it felt good. Until season 2 and then 3, and it was like, oh, you've jumped the shark. But Marvel Zombies kept the cohesion that they were looking for.
Yes.
And it did help that this is obviously more of a cohesive storyline, so I like that a lot. But yeah, it was kind of neat to be like, oh, they've set this up where, okay, they're doing good. Oh, they're going to go out. Oh, okay. Oh, they're not... they're dying.
Like after... Hearing like the Magneto comic story,
yeah,
I was like, they really took into effect of like, oh, someone needs to stay back and sacrifice themselves.
Yeah. There's no other way.
Yeah.
There's no other way. And so for them to kind of breadcrumb like, oh, Kate got an arrow from Hawkeye. That's great. She doesn't know what it is. And then this big, like, she's going to pay off. And it ends up being a
confetti arrow,
which is one of his arrows in the comics. Using it on zombified Captain Marvel, who's fighting Icarus of all characters.
Yes.
Yeah. The what did they call him? They said unbionic or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But they're fighting in the Valley of Broken Gods
so
or whatever it is.
So crazy. Yeah, it was incredible. But yeah, to actually, the minute that she got pulverized, I was like, oh, they're dying. I was like, oh, they're actually going to die. But yeah, the Riri thing is an interesting payoff because, yeah, like we've said in many episodes about very many different things, if there's no body and you don't see the death, is there a death? And Riri was kind of an example of that because the ending, the last episode can be taken a lot of ways. It can be interpreted in different ways of hallucination, of, you know, like mixed channels, the, you know, universes are colliding, whatever. But the fact that they also gave it to Kamala to kind of run with as like the front runner of the series, which didn't feel like they were doing in marketing at all.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like that. And I thought that was interesting all the way to her, to them making way to the S.H.I.E.L.D. base and meeting with the Widow family and how that went down and the hive mind of the zombies is so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of, I feel like that took notes from The Walking Dead, speaking of, not that they completely controlled them in the series, but there are moments where they like learn how to tame them.
Yeah.
By removing their jaws whatever. Yeah. And so that's kind of what that gave me, but loved that. And then
I love the buildup of like they have this goal of like we have to get this transmitter, you know, so we can communicate, maybe we can get help from outside, you know, outside of the universe, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I always loved that buildup. And like I know it's like a typical trope where it's like they're building up to this goal and it ends up being like not what they think.
Mm-hmm.
I love that because we're still rooting for them. Like they've all come together to accomplish this goal.
Yeah.
And they do it
only
for the Nova Corps to say, get the f- away from us.
Yeah. Don't trash.
get your zombie infected universe out of our face.
That's the thing is that I was like, too good to be true. They're either not going to reply or they're going to turn on them. And turned on them.
When Valk said, he was like, usually a transmission takes at least a couple weeks to get back.
And they were there.
And it's like, but they're there right away.
Yeah. So they and were never like, gone. Yeah.
And when they were like, they're not here to help us. They're here to make sure we don't leave.
Yep.
And I was like, I hate these guys.
I know. And what's crazy is that that's not such a unique trope.
Yeah.
But they executed it incredibly well because you almost feel
was
betrayed.
Rooting.
Yeah.
I was like,
they're getting
out.
We
love the Nova Corps.
Yeah.
Glenn Close? Where's Glenn Close at? I know she's going to help them.
Nope.
No.
Nope. Didn't work out. And and just Iman's voice work on it too. Like she
killed it, man.
She killed it. She was so like the whole thing. Like, oh, they're not here to save us. It's like, no, they're not, baby boo. You're gonna get like pulverized by Nova Corps ships. but yeah, like that. Everybody suffered losses in the series. Because when Yelena sacrificed herself, I was like, God dang it! And I kind of got spoiled. I've said this to a couple of people already because it did kind of infuriate me that I learned it the hard way and it wasn't even a proper way. Like I didn't see a screenshot. I didn't see a video of her. It was a Stan account that popped up in my FYP and it was like, oh, this is the first time we're going to see Florence die.
Oh, shoot.
And it was just that she was credited for only two episodes. And I was like, no. So that's how I found out. It wasn't even the premise. It was just, oh, she's only credited for two. Well, That means she's dead. So I learned it the hard way, but I was glad I didn't see any other spoilers related to the series itself, because it was getting there. Like, it was coming for me, because I hadn't watched it yet until later that day. Mm. And people were just drowning the feed in, like, this is what happens. Exactly. This is Shang-Chi. Like, this is yeah, John Walker. Yeah, I thought it was really good. And then the raft. And like Zemo
sucks, man.
He's such a little shit. But yeah, it took me a minute to realize that was John Walker for some reason, because it just didn't even look like him. Yeah, but yeah, it was also Russell Wyatt, from what I remember. Oh. I think in the credits, I think it is him. Not all of them were voiced by the originals, of course, but a good number of them were. And I thought that whole storyline was magnificent, because I forgot about the Talokan and I forgot that they were in it. And I was like,
he's scary.
Yeah. That's the stuff you don't want to mess with.
Is a zombified friggin'. Mm-mm, yeah.
No. All those people. Yeah. They thought they were good. They're like, yeah, we could live underwater. No, the Talokan own the ocean, bro. And they came in within minutes of their descent. But yeah, Zemo's a little shit, and he was feeding them to the sharks, quite literally. Yeah, and so that whole thing, and then yeah, leading to Yelena's sacrifice and poor Red Guardian.
I was gonna say, I feel so bad for Alexei.
I know, last
he
man
was going
standing.
Through it.
Yeah, and then that's what kind of broke my heart, though, is that the Thor episode, in the Asgard episode, where he gets turned and Kamala's like, Alexei, and I'm like, oh no, and that's also another zombie trope. Where it's like the good guy that's been there the entire time gets mm-hmm. like, I call it Otis, getting Otis, because there's a character in The Walking Dead
okay.
named Otis, and he was like the good guy, the good kind-hearted big fella.
Yeah.
And funny enough, Johnny Bernthal's character in the show, Shane, they go out to do a run for supplies and food, and a horde is coming after them, and Otis like kind of break, like his ankle gets twisted, and he's like, and Johnny's character's like, oh, we can do it. And at some point he just keeps falling, so he shoots him in the leg and he takes off, and he got Otis, he turned into a zombie and all that stuff. So it was kind of unfortunate for Alexei that he kind of stayed behind and he ate the food and crazy.
Also
freaking Scarlet Witch,
the last episode, I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, Scarlet Witch is maniacal.
Dude, are you still on her side?
She is a maniacal.
She's crazy.
I'm like, there has to be something here. Like, she's maniacal. Yeah. Lizzie still wants to do a House of M.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, come on. Like, let's, I will pay so much money to have Elizabeth Olsen say no more mutants. Yeah.
That'll be it for her, though. That's it for
it
her
has
arc.
To be. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
If that's her arc, oh, then so be it. If that's the hard reset of the MCU on top of this incursion doomsday thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's Lizzie saying it in another universe where it's like, oh, okay, that's gone.
Yeah.
That's fine. But this is the second time she's mentioned, I want to do a House of M run.
Yeah.
Oh, you let her say no more mutants.
Yes.
You let Cap say Avengers Assemble. You let Scarlet Witch say no more mutants.
So, yeah, that's...
And then she gathers pretty much the zombie Avengers at the last episode. Mm-hmm. She was like, oh, you remember all those like lovable heroes? Like, they sacrificed themselves?
Exactly.
Well, I got them so that I can harness all this power.
It's so nuts. And just the fact that she got Thor.
I want to say zombie Thor. I was like,
yeah,
I'm very scared.
That entire thing, the Asgard, like, as again, it's really difficult to even choose a favorite episode because they're all so strong in various ways. But the Asgard episode, other than the fact that Khonshu coming out like a party favor, hilarious.
I was gonna ask you, what do you think of Blade as Khonshu's?
Oh my god, outstanding! Blade as the vessel for Khonshu.
Like, I was like, yeah, I see it.
It's incredible, and like he's like, I don't need food, I just need blood. Like, so good. It was great. I just, and it works with the animation style and the speed at which they presented. It's just too cool. And I said this to Andrew, actually. I was like, it absolutely gave the T'Challa as Star-Lord quality level of original amalgamation. Like, that's, it's spot on. He might be my favorite one, actually. So great. And Khonshu is just ridiculous.
He's so funny.
And I love that, like, just Valkyrie talking. Oh, Khonshu!
He said, who is she talking to?
I think the invisible friend is actually invisible. So good. But yeah, I think just the entire, the way, the manipulation that Wanda, the level of manipulation Wanda went to fool all of them and then also feed them that, and that again is another thing they've pulled from the comics in a way that if you touch the zombie or eaten by it or whatever,
like eating like zombie remains,
yeah,
or
you contract the virus, it's done. So at one point in the comics they're like wearing gloves and making sure like you know they contain the virus that way. So the same as in the show, that instead if you're consuming that, it's over. So she was already supplementing her army by feeding them the corpses of the dead, which is like, and that's why I was like, oh, no, Alexei!
I know!
Yeah, I really wanted to see him go all the way, but what a way to do it. And then, again, introduce zombie Thor, or Thor in general, like, scarred from his encounter with
Thanos.
Yeah, and, like, how that went wrong, and how...
It Rocket just and affects
Groot.
Him, yeah.
Rocket and Groot even died in that one. Like, come on, man.
Sorry, die.
I was like, wow, I'm really losing in this series.
And I was like, yes!
I know!
Jeff, but like, T'Challa goes out a hero, baby. We're up!
Jeff had texted me at one point and was just like, no, not my favorite. And I was like, how does that feel?
I was like, I'm not enjoying this.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, yes.
It's also like exactly what you, yeah, because the risks are there. There's actual risk in it. And somebody even asked me, like, they're like, oh, all the Thunderbolts were basically in the series. I was like, yeah. And then they're like, where's Bucky? I was like, did you see What If? And they're like, no. I was like, oh, he did. He went flying. What was it? Because of like Scott or Hope or somebody.
Yeah.
Flicked him off into oblivion. Yeah, he's dead. If he comes back and he's still alive, oh, he's dying. There's no way. So I was like, oh, he's dead. Don't even worry about him. They're all dying. No one is safe. And so speaking of, so with the final episode, And the very last moment that Scarlet Witch is desperately trying, once again, and convincingly, mind you, trying to convince Kamala that if they join their powers,
she's getting Mephisto, man.
Yeah, we can bring back
your friends.
Yeah, we can rebirth this life.
Yeah, we
or
can
something.
rebuild the world.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, oh no honey, no. Like, she thinks she's doing it and part of her is hoping to do that, but it never ends up, it's not what she really wants.
No.
So for her to then absorb the infinity power from Hulk and then also have Kamala finally give in,
yeah,
and then to it's funny because like the waking up of Kamala is very anime-like. It's very like they did that in at least 60% of Sailor Moon episodes where the world has ended, but she wakes up the next morning like, oh, everything's great again. It's like, no, it's not great.
Yeah.
And they're having boba tea. Her friends are alive.
Hell yeah.
But then there's that static
like
flickering.
Like kind of glitching. Of yeah. Like, and you're like, and it's Riri.
And it's
like,
Riri.
And I was like, is this a flashback?
Right.
Or is this a reality? Or is this a twisted reality that Scarlet Witch is creating?
Right. And so that's what some people said to me is that, oh, the way I took it was that it was like the dimensions were kind of like, I don't know, amalgamating, I guess, or twisting into each other. Realities were colliding, or she was corrupted in some way. But my gut tells me is that, yeah, Riri's, she mentioned it. It's a throwaway line, but she's like, oh, this is a terrible way to find out if my antidote works. And then she stabs herself when she got bit and it starts to foam up. And that's all you see because she's left in the first episode.
Yeah, because we never
fighting
see,
a horde. Yeah. But I'm like, with the Tony Stark, what was it? It's a teddy bear? Tony Stark. With that, what is it? Friday. With that Friday, There's a chance she could have made it out. Because Friday did go back for her.
Yes.
So my So my gut feeling is that the antidote worked. Friday went back to go get her. Mm-hmm. And after all is said and done, she was able to find Kamala, who was running around with this disillusionment that Scarlet Witch has put in her head. Mm. And so... So it's open-ended enough that if they don't make a season two, you're left with that satisfying ending. But if they make a season two,
we get
it's
to figure
about
out.
The antidote. Yeah. And if the antidote actually works. And so, I'm curious how they're going to work it. And obviously people are like, the reception is so good. Oh,
I hope so. I mean, yeah, I want to know, is that a flashback? Like what?
They need to not jump the shark.
Yeah.
If they're all going to die, they got to kill them all. They can't have a happy ending. You know what I mean?
No happy endings.
Yeah, or change something so that somebody, kill Kamala. Like, everybody dies. No, they can't. They just can't take it as far as they did with What If.
Yeah.
Because What If just got a little too unruly. And so, I found this interesting comment on IMDb that kind of simplifies the essence of what the zombies are.
Uh-huh.
And so this person wrote, in the comics, the zombies were created by the hunger virus, which allowed them to retain their minds but be victims to a hunger for flesh that was purely psychological. Here in the series, it's a virus from the quantum realm that corrupts the limbic system and renders the victims mindless animals. There's another major difference. The hunger virus is absolute and cannot be cured. Healing factors eventually give out fighting the infection. We see this in the comic. Like Wolverine, his body just starts to fall apart.
Got it.
So he tries to swipe Silver Surfer, and the adamantium versus the cosmic exterior shatters his flesh, and he's just adamantium, and he's like, oh, I needed that. he needed the arm. He's left with one arm. So that makes sense. And the last line reads, the quantum virus can be cured with the Mind Stone's power. So
did we see that? I keep forgetting.
I think it was the one missing. I think it was one missing. Because Thanos' glove was not complete, right?
Yes.
Or did he get it from...
I forget who had it. I keep forgetting.
Yeah.
No, he did get the mind.
Did he get it?
He did. Yes.
Yeah. So Scarlet Witch has it now. Because Hulk had it from Thanos. Jeff's face. So you gotta ask your girl.
I'll ask her.
I mean, but that's interesting, right? Like it's back to the Mind Stone and Scarlet Witch.
I just wanna know if like the ending was like
real.
or is it just Scarlet Witch putting a hex on Miss Marvel?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's the hex. I think Kamala is just running around not realizing, or she's a zombie. And she doesn't know. yeah, I know. So that's it for the series.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I really loved it.
So I do have one pop quiz for you.
It's messed up.
It's not about the... It's more about... Okay, here we go. So pop quiz. Marvel Zombies, the TV show.
Yes.
Is officially the third Marvel television project with a TVMA rating.
Okay.
Can you name the other two?
Oh, crap. TVMA.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. MCU?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go down. Let's go down the list. Obviously.
Not movies.
Yeah. Obviously, WandaVision. No.
No. See if you can go down this list.
It was WandaVision. Was Moon Knight?
Nope.
It wasn't. Mm-mm. It wasn't TVMA.
Nope.
Oh my lordy, Michael Jordy. No. It wasn't. Are we sure it's not Miss Marvel?
You mean the most wholesome show of all time?
Oh my god. Daredevil Born Again.
Yep.
TVMA.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Yep.
So that's two, or the what's one of two.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What else? Not What If.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
What was this? No, I don't think so. Agatha? Mm-mm. It wasn't. Okay.
Surprisingly.
That's what I thought. Because I was like, yeah, no. I'm also basing it off the gore aspect of it, mm-hmm. and maybe cussing.
That will definitely guide you.
Yeah. So now I'm trying to think of like blood gore and then like possible cussing, because not a lot of
violence, right?
Yeah. Fuck, Moon Knight wasn't one. Oh my god, how many? See, this is where they suffered when they were kept releasing all these shows, and now I have to think about what shows they were doing 2021. Mm-hmm. Oh, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Nope.
No?
Mm-mm.
I swear it was violent.
It was pretty violent, but not in the way that would exceed...
It's TVMA?
Yeah.
Guys, hold on. I'm getting to the brink, though.
Yeah. Because you're slim pickings now.
There is very slim pickings. What?
Well, once you realize it, you're going to be like, oh. Duh.
Was it Secret Invasion?
No.
What?
Yeah, none. Not Secret Invasion. Which, for all intents and purposes, had green blood anyway, so.
But Maria Hill died on screen!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What if... Is it X-Men? 97?
Nope. No. You've officially exhausted all of the options. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Really?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it, dude.
And I haven't gotten it?
No.
Dude. What was the one that I said?
Daredevil.
Daredevil, okay. Mm-hmm.
Daredevil Born Again.
What release would Daredevil? No, Daredevil was this year.
Answer is right there.
Daredevil, dude. Yes! Okay. Echo.
Got it. There it is. Echo TVMA rating. Released in 2024.
Yes.
Because they showed Wilson Fisk. Being Wilson Fisk. Yes. So,
okay.
Yes. That was it. Yeah.
What else? And I was like, yep. Oh my God.
That's the one. Yeah. Oh so, can God. You believe the only three TVMA rating items from Marvel Television so far are indeed Echo, wow. Daredevil Born Again, and now Marvel Zombies.
Only three.
But two are live action, one is animation. The floodgate is open as far as I'm concerned. Like, well, I think with this, it's game on.
Well, we know, I mean, obviously Daredevil season 2 is going to be at TVMA. Yeah. But then Johnny B's special presentation. Is that technically a show? Ish?
I guess so. I would say yes.
Yeah. That's
so
gonna be
I think
TV.
That's going to be. TV. Oh, yeah. There's no way it's not. Yeah. That's definitely.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, it could be a hard R for our only note. And then, of course, Daredevil season 2. And then it got picked up for season 3. So
yes.
Those are in the can.
Love that.
Yeah. So more TVMA is coming our way.
Hell yeah.
Love that. But yeah. So that kind of wraps it up for Marvel Zombies. Do you have a prediction? If they indeed come out with a season 2, when do you think it would drop?
Let's see. End of 2025 now.
I know.
If it gets picked up for season 2 by the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
by the end of this year, I think we could see it. No, I think we could. Oh, well, I guess it depends how long it takes for these animated shows.
Yeah.
Like, I know usually animated shows, well, movies take a long time, obviously, but shows.
Yeah.
I would say, honestly, probably top of 2027.
Yeah, that's what
just to be super safe.
I think so.
Unless they've been working on it already.
Which could be. I mean, the voice work is pretty quick.
Yeah.
It usually comes first, I think, in this case at least. And then the animation work is after. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe at best, same time this year. Same time next year.
Next year, yeah.
Maybe even
That'd
later.
Be cool. Yeah, I'd love for that.
Maybe in just in time for a little Halloween next year.
I hope so.
Would be great, but obviously don't rush it.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Halloween, very quickly, someone on Twitter said something marvelous. And I was like, God, I need Kevin Feige to see this. And they said, what about the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, but make it Halloween with the Thunderbolts? And I was like, print me a million copies, I would watch that.
That's good.
That would be so good. That's I would good. Love that. I want them to play around with more things beyond
yes.
a safe genre.
100%. Because
it obviously can work. With this series, yes. it's proof it can work. So I want them to push the envelope a little bit. Play a little heavier like our yes. friends over at DC.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, we'll see what happens. So next up on the show, we're going to continue with our spooky season offerings Woo! And finally dive into the man, the mystery himself, Mephisto.
Mephisto.
So we're going to take a little break from our Fantastic Four episodes and cover Mephisto now that we've officially seen him in the MCU.
Yep.
So join us here in a couple of weeks.
Woo.
And with all that said, that is the end of the show.
Wow.
Thanks for listening. And a special thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. And a We Are Groot salute to Ariel, Chris, Jenny, Laura, Ed, Andrea, Andrew, Melanie, Katie, Joe, Liz, Nats, Tyler, Robin, Sherry, and Ashley. Follow us on social, STRKCNTRST. If you experienced ads during the episode, you can unlock an ad-free version of this podcast by supporting us on Patreon. And if you like what you hear, review, rate, and subscribe.
Once again, thanks for listening. We will catch you on the next one.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Avenger, we have an Avenger in the house, guys.
You're the Avenger now.